I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married
sweetheart. For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Harris in for Annie Fry. How you doing? Glad you're here. Happy afternoon. Lots more to get to on this hour. Well, this show has flown by today, don't you think, Ryan?
Yeah, I do. We've had a lot of stuff going on in general.
Yeah, there's serious stuff, and then we're having a little fun with the fun stuff. We're going to talk about spying on spouses. Apparently, 20% of people spy on their spouses prior to a divorce. And we'll get to some of the tactics they use for that. But first, we're going to check in with Illinois Policy. Bryce Hill is here. Interesting study that shows that the average people, like people making an average salary, can make nearly the same amount collecting unemployment staying at home. Why not? Why not just stay home forever? Oh, my gosh. Bryce Hill is here. How are you, Bryce?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. How long is this unemployment thing going to go? It's supposed to shut off the extra money in September, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. September 6th, we'll see if anything changes with that. But as you mentioned, with the enhanced unemployment benefits, the average Illinoisan paying into unemployment makes about $55,000 a year. If you're unemployed in Illinois, making the average salary and have children, you can be making $52,000 a year essentially underneath the excess or the increased unemployment benefits, not to mention, you know, what you've received in stimulus or whatever throughout the past couple of years. So that question is a very real one. Why go back to work? If you were unfortunate enough to lose your job, you could stay home, spend some time with your kids, don't have to worry about transportation costs or costs of childcare. So it's really a good proposition for unemployed workers, and it's one of the reasons why the national unemployment rate is so much lower than Illinois' unemployment rate, which is 7.2%, one of the highest in the nation.
Interesting. Speaking of Bryce Hill from Illinois Policy, it's interesting, too, because I think a lot of people are going to scramble and find their front door September 6th unless the Delta variant causes them to extend this a little longer, right?
Yeah, who knows? And who knows? You know, with that, there's also concerns over what's going to happen with schools, what's going to happen in Illinois if parents, you know, can't have access to the normal traditional child care that they're expecting to have beginning back in the fall. That's going to make it extremely hard for working parents or parents who are looking for a job to be able to make that decision as well. So depending on, you know, a lot of things coming up, we could see this increased unemployment rate in Illinois linger for a long time.
Bryce, I'm going to ask you a question that I think I know the answer to, but I want to get the expert opinion on this anyway. Is it just that there are not enough people hiring in Illinois that all these people are on unemployment?
Definitely not. You know, if you look all across the state, there's unemployment or there's help wanted signs, people looking to hire. You know, there's been a lot of lip service paid as to why somebody is or isn't attracting job seekers, but you really can't understate, you know, when you have unemployment benefits that are essentially the same as keeping your old job. What really is the value of going back for a lot of people when you can make the same amount on unemployment? Despite businesses hiring, there's about four times as many job postings on the Illinois Department of Employment Security's website as there are resumes right now. So plenty of people are hiring. It's just that, a combination of factors, whether it be, increased unemployment benefits or what have you, workers just aren't there to fill those positions.
Bryce Hill from Illinois Policy on the phone with us. So is it possible to break that down by region throughout the state? Is it much worse in Chicago? Are there more people on unemployment there? Obviously, there's more people in general, but are there more jobs available? Is the economy worse upstate versus downstate? What are you seeing?
Yeah, so across the state, really, we have, for the most part, elevated unemployment rates. It's actually higher in more populated areas of the state. So Chicago, Rockford, Northern Illinois is seeing some higher unemployment rates, while Southern Illinois is seeing lower unemployment rates, which is a good sign. But still, these are lingering factors that apply to everybody across the state that make it equally as hard for employers across the state looking to fill positions to find workers. Most of the jobs in Illinois' economy, most of the new jobs every year come from small businesses. We're still missing about half of them. And it's hard to think that it's not due to, not having enough people to fill the positions that they're looking to hire for.
That's true. We're speaking with Bryce Hill from, of course, Illinois Policy. He's a senior research analyst. Glad to have you, Bryce. I'm Heidi Harris, by the way, in for Annie Fry. So nobody blame anything I say on Annie Fry. Just want you to know that. You know what's interesting to me, too, Bryce, is a lot of employers, as you know, are jacking up the amount of money. They're sweetening the pot, so to speak, to get people back to their restaurants and whatnot. But if everybody waits until September 7th to run out the door and try to find a job, boy, is that job market going to be saturated, and boy, are those hourly rates going to go down, the wages going to go down.
Yeah, absolutely. So, there's been a large discussion nationally about, employers just need to offer more. And in many cases, that's happening. And it's still really tough to pull workers back into the workforce under current conditions. And then, as you mentioned, when that clock finally runs out and things return kind of to normal, we'll see what happens. But a lot of those increased pay packages or benefits, they could be going by the wayside once, more workers become available. So it's really going to be interesting to see how it games out with people trying to time it just right. You mentioned leisure and hospitality. 35% of the jobs that are missing in the state's economy have only recovered about half of them from the pandemic. 35% of them are in the leisure and hospitality industry. There's still tons of, missing workers in that industry. Small businesses are really having a hard time filling those jobs and, trying to remain open. Things haven't gotten particularly better in the past several months despite reopening. And like I said, I think that a lot of this has to be related to these same factors.
Bryce, there's so many, like you said, there's so many factors that kind of are playing into this all at once, and we're talking about just a couple of them, but one that you kind of hit on that I wanted to ask for an update on is the unemployment. We're in the midst of an unemployment stair step up. Have we gotten to the top of that, and where are we on the scale, and then how do you think that's impacting the business climate returning back to business?
Yeah, so the unemployment rate, we kind of peaked out several months ago and have been gradually coming down, but in July, the unemployment rate crept back up despite adding jobs, so that that's a sign that more people are coming into the workforce, or at least are, considering looking for a job, but they're not yet finding them or have not yet to accept a job.
Bryce, you know what? I apologize. I think I said unemployment, and I was referring to minimum wage. I've got unemployment on the brain. How has the minimum wage increase stair-stepped up impacted unemployment and people getting back to business?
Yeah, well, just from a very basic level, it raises the cost for a business. And it's easy to point to, large employers like Amazon and McDonald's and say, why can't you just pay $15 an hour? But as I mentioned, 70% of the new jobs are coming from small businesses. It's extremely hard for a small business to generate enough revenue in the current environment to keep paying increased costs. So this is another hindrance to the state's recovery. And this was implemented a couple of years ago that we've decided to go on this gradual staircase up to $15 an hour. So it's definitely not helping. And part of the reason why, even before the pandemic, Illinois' unemployment rate was lagging the nation and other states. And it's just going to continue to do so as we, you know, get farther and farther into the recovery. Illinois is going to be negatively affected by that policy choice.
We're speaking with Bryce Hill, of course, from Illinois Policy, senior research analyst. You know what's interesting, Bryce? A lot of states, by the time you calculate how much people have to pay out over the $15 an hour wage, it gets over $20 very quickly. Would you happen to know off the top of your head, if you're paying somebody $15 an hour, how much are you actually paying them as an employer between all the fees and the various things you have to pay to the state of Illinois?
Yeah, it just varies depending on what the situation is, but I believe unemployment insurance alone, if you're paying into that for these employees, is going to tack on an extra 10% out of an employer's pocket. So it's more your costs are well above $15 an hour because that's just the salary that you're paying. You're not even considering benefit packages if employers are fortunate enough to be able to offer those to their employees. You have costs there. You have costs in payroll taxes and unemployment insurance and things like that just stack on top of each other. So, in some cases, it could certainly be in excess of $20 an hour when you consider all of the different items that go into what hiring employees means for a business.
That's what people forget about. They never talk about that number. I was talking to one friend of mine who has a business out west, and she said, if I paid $15 an hour, I have to pay $22 an hour by the time I pay the fees and the taxes and all the other things that are associated with hiring an employee. And that's what people forget about. You never hear that discussed. But people who run a business and actually know how to read a spreadsheet understand the reality of it. Bryce Hill, Illinois Policy, thanks for being here. So great talking to you again.
Yeah, so much. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that. You know, it's a good thing they're keeping track of all this stuff. But can you imagine? My friend said $15 an hour. At 15, she'd be paying $22 an hour out of her pocket for that one person.
Yeah, of course. And it's all policy decisions. That's what's so sad. It's that Illinois has so much momentum behind it because it's a big populous state, or has been traditionally until people started leaving it. We could really be in good shape right now and weathered this thing much, much better. But the policy decisions are just awful over and over and over.
Right. That's the problem. It's not the question of the people don't want to work. It's just the question of if you make it too attractive for them to stay home. I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see, though, September 7th, if they stop these extra benefits. I'm not sure if they're going to do that or not now with the Delta variant and everything else. If they do, there's going to be a mass exodus, people finding their front doors, and then you're not going to be able to get anything like you can get right now. So I'm recommending if you are looking for a job or you haven't looked for a job and you're waiting until September to do it, you better get out there because the deals that people are making as far as the incentives that they're offering to get you to come to work for them are going to be out the window when they have a mass number of people applying for jobs. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to pass anything. I don't think they will, but you never know if they get enough pressure. Joe Manchin caves. We could see it in a reconciliation bill, I guess.
You don't know. All right, coming up, 1 in 5 spouses use spy gear on their partner prior to divorce. Spy gear? We'll talk about what that even means. Coming up next on The Annie Fry Show, I'm Heidi Harris.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Heidi Harris in for Annie Fry. How you doing? Good afternoon. Ryan here, Jake. I hope you're watching on YouTube, The Annie Fry Show, because you can see Jake. You know what he reminds me of? I'm going to say this, and I mean this in the best possible way.
I don't like when somebody's about to say something like that. It's like,
no, it's not,
disclaimer.
It's not at all nasty. You remind me of the guys on Saturday Night Live. Remember?
Oh, Dana Carvey. The Night of the Roxbury guys?
Yeah.
No. What do they call Dana Carvey and, you know, when they would sit in there, you know, Wayne's World.
Oh,
Wayne's World. Rocket with,
okay.
And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. They were fantastic.
Sure.
They were funny.
Yeah, well, you didn't even do this on purpose, but there was a little bit of a lull in that bump music where it was just the hi-hat going, and that's when you started talking. And
right.
I'm like, that was so perfect. It was so perfect.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Just the hi-hat. Coming into the hi-hat. By the way, I am going to try to play drums. I actually have a set of drums.
Oh, yeah?
That I got at a garage sale. Don't laugh. But the hi-hats were trashed by some kid, right?
Yeah.
So this is a crazy story. So I want to learn how to do it. I've tried a little, but my dogs hate it, so I'm still working. I've got a whole set in the living room. But I happened to look out the door one day, and a neighbor who was cleaning out a rental put a set of hi-hats on the curb. I mean, the stand and everything.
Oh, no kidding.
I raced over there, and I said, "Are you throwing those out?" She said, "Yep." And they're beautiful.
Do you know what make they are? Or brand?
I can go look during the break. I'll go look for you.
All right, I'm just curious. I also started, because I can play guitar, bass, a little bit of piano, all that. And I wanted to play drums for a long time, but my parents would never let me. And so I would only have the opportunity to play whenever I would like jam with people and the drummer would let me, you know, try some things out. I had like two lessons before my mom pushed me back onto the piano lessons. But I recently got a couple years ago one of the electronic drum kits.
Okay.
That's awesome. It's still a little bit noisy, obviously, because you're hitting stuff. But like, it's like all mesh heads and stuff, and it's a lot quieter. And like, I live in a tiny little apartment, but I've gotten no complaints from my neighbors, and that's how I've been learning. That was my quarantine hobby. I was learning how to play drums.
That's a good idea. Well, listen, I'm trying, and every time I do it, I hit the hi-hats once my dogs run for the hill, so they don't enjoy it. So then it kind of takes half the fun out of it for me.
Telling you, the electric kits are perfect.
Hi-hats. Huh?
Those electric kits are perfect for that.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right about that. Okay. One in five spouses apparently uses spy gear on their partner prior to divorce. You know, you guys have probably read the stories about how Facebook and things like that are being so used by lawyers now in divorces because they look at your texts, and I guess they can look up all that stuff. That's crazy land.
Oh, yeah. Lawyers, employers. You got to really watch when you're applying for a job what's on your social media, what's public anyway, because that's...
Isn't that true? Apparently, 20% of exes are engaging in potentially illegal spy activity against their partners. Can I just say up front, my husband has my phone. He knows my code. To get into my phone, he always forgets it, but he does know it, and I know his. And you know, I don't know. What about you, Ryan? I know you're married. What do you and your wife do that same thing?
I don't know that we have each other's codes, but anytime she's ever like, "Oh, let me see that on your phone," I am like, "Here, take my phone. You go through the whole thing."
Sure.
Because I want her to know that, you know, it's an open book, and I think we're so open about it that we don't even care to check each other's phones.
Right, exactly. That's part of it, too. You know, some people are just weird about it. But apparently, one in five out of 400 recent clients are snooping on their spouses, according to some attorneys, which is so interesting. And they find all kinds of ways to do it. Apparently, there's an endless list of devices, including those things you can put on your car to find out how many miles you drove. I mean, can we just say that your marriage is over if you're doing that?
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not higher than 20% of people right before they get divorced. It seems like it would be higher if you're just about to get divorced. Although we're talking about illegal activity, I guess, so.
Yeah, spouses use tracking devices, dash cams, and they're putting spyware software on mobile phones. I don't even know what that is. I'm sure it exists. But apparently some people are saying these methods are quite sophisticated. And one attorney said that he suspected his experience is just the tip of the iceberg. To your point, Ryan, I'm sure one in five is a low number.
You know what I just realized that I haven't seen for a long time, probably 10 years, and I'm sure it's because technology's gotten so much better. Do you ever remember seeing white paint on the road? You know what I'm talking about?
White paint?
So like if...
Those are lanes.
It's like
a drizzle of paint.
It's a drizzle of paint that somebody would put underneath a car and let the person drive away and see where they go by following the white paint.
Oh.
What?
Oh, yeah. You guys never saw this?
No.
oh, man, maybe I just live in a high cheat area.
I always thought it was something somebody, if I've seen that on the road, I'm sure I have a few times, I always thought it was somebody, like, you know, spilling some paint or something. I never knew it was actually done on purpose.
No, I think that used to be done on purpose by, you know, a lot of PIs would do that. They would stick one of these little paint things underneath the back bumper probably, and it would just slowly drip. And I guess you'd have to time it knowing when the person was going to leave, because if it's just sitting there underneath the car, it would drip all out while they're waiting.
Well,
but
I think we're a little past the paint, though, now. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, is that you won't see that anymore because you can stick a little GPS device on it or track their phone.
Yeah, yeah. There was even some issue with that, with like the Apple AirTags or whatever they were called. I think they're called the Apple AirTags, and it's like a thing that you're supposed to put on like your phone, your luggage, and it connects via Bluetooth wherever you are. But one of the big controversies that came out with it was like, it's so easy to just put this on someone's car and you can just see wherever they go, because the battery life on those things are supposed to be ridiculous, and like has like an unlimited range or something.
Isn't that funny? Because when I heard about those things, I don't have them. Some companies sell them. You put the, like you said, the little sticker, whatever it is, on your phone and your kids' phones, that kind of stuff. Okay, it makes sense. I never even would have thought about it to use it in a nefarious way. It would never have occurred to me to do that.
See, me neither, but I read one article about it, and then it just clicked. It's like, that makes total sense. Like, this could be dangerous.
No, but you're right. If you want to keep track of where your girlfriend's purse goes or whatever, you know.
Have you ever been out somewhere and spotted a PI actually doing work? Private investigation.
Not
work.
A good one.
Well, if you
exactly.
do, they're not very good at
exactly.
what they do. You're not
I've
supposed
seen,
to know who
I was
they are.
At an I was at a place that I used to work probably 10, 15 years ago, and I was sitting in a studio like this, and I looked out the window, and there was a guy walking around. He was walking around, you know, acting like he was watching the trees, but he's walking between two corporate buildings. Like, nobody ever walks through there.
Oh,
he's
brother, walking around Mr.
Like,
Obvious.
Oh, well, I'm just looking at the sky. Interesting. Oh, look at that that bird right there. And then he would pull out a little camera. This is before camera phones. He'd pull out a little camera and take a picture. He'd stick it back in his pocket reel and, like, look around again.
Oh, brother,
this
Mr.
is,
Subtle.
This is great TV. I'm going to watch this guy. So I was watching him walk around all the building. I was going into other people's offices so I could watch out the window to see what he did. And I watched which car he took the license plates of, and I didn't know who they were. I was hoping I would.
Oh, that's so
that
funny.
That is so
they,
funny.
They sent the intern in on that one.
Yeah, apparently.
Or when you have a security person at a store who's not that subtle, there's a security guy at a certain Walmart near me who is not the guy at all that you would expect to be a security guy. Okay, he's just not that guy. But the reason you know who he is because I've walked into this particular Walmart and seen him talking with somebody at the front, you know, the greeter.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's wearing street clothes and the greeter's wearing the vest. And then you see him a little bit later in the aisles walking around. You're like, I know who you are. It's so obvious who you are because you know these employees. Nobody else will be talking to the greeter for 10 minutes like you are.
Right. Right. Yeah. Not doing a very
Hello,
good job.
Giveaway. That's a tell, buddy.
Maybe
Don't play
he's,
poker with
maybe
me.
He's the decoy loss prevention officer. He's
is
the
that
guy that's
is?
Assigned to talk to the greeter for 10 minutes to make it really obvious that it's him. Meanwhile, the other LPO is out in the parking lot stopping some guy from stealing a TV.
LPO, loss prevention officer, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, I learned that phrase when I was working for a police department. That was a big...
Well, there you go. Yeah. I like that. Now, speaking of marriages, clearly your marriage is in trouble if you've got to put a GPS tracker on your spouse. Can we just all agree on that? Yes. Okay, so moving on. Apparently, according to Israel, there was a research done that showed that what they did is they tracked men. And apparently, if you have a bad marriage, it risks putting you in an early grave.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all.
Oh, yeah. Well, they say that usually they say married men live longer. I don't know if it just seems longer or not. I'm not sure.
If you got a bad marriage, man, nothing's right in life.
That's what they're saying.
If things
aren't good
at home.
If you're stuck in a dissatisfying marriage, this research says you should get marriage therapy or risk being put in an early grave. Being unhappy with your marriage or even perceiving your marriage as bad made men twice as likely to die from cerebrovascular conditions, such as stroke or blocked arteries, at the same rate as smoking and lack of physical activity. It is a big deal. We all know people who are in marriages that are awful, and I can't even imagine the stress of being in a bad marriage.
There's some weird facts in this article, if you're still reading the same one, because I'm seeing also that it says the proportion of peeping Toms has increased by 60% since a decade ago. I'm assuming that's because of technology, too.
Okay, who's peeping? Who's doing the peeping Tom thing? Why you just get online? Why would you go by somebody's window and risk being beat up by the homeowner?
It's the thrill of the risk, I guess.
Yeah, Heidi.
It's the thrill of those bushes. Yeah.
I can't honestly answer that question. I don't know the answer.
Look, I know that I can look you up on Facebook, but your garden is just so pretty now. I mean, you work so hard. I'm admiring.
And people put some crazy stuff on Facebook. So anyway, in Israel, they said the level of satisfaction with marriage has emerged as a predictive factor for life expectancy at a rate comparable, as I mentioned, with smoking and physical activity. And, you know, and there's, you know, a lot of people during COVID realized that they're either their marriages were better than they thought or their marriages weren't as good as they thought. I mean, I saw people on both ends of that.
Yeah, and you feel bad, too, for kids that were stuck with, abusive parents or abusive situations school was kind of the out for them. And if you weren't at school all year, I mean, we don't know statistically how much that was happening because it's all done so privately. So we know it existed, but we can't really find, you know, data to show how much that increased.
Well, it's hard because nobody really, most of the time, cares about what the kids go through as much as they should. You know, it's all about, are the parents happy? Is your marriage happy? Are you fulfilled in your job? All these things. And all that matters, okay? I'm not saying it doesn't matter. But nobody really talks about the kids. Are they happy? Are they doing well? You know, that's the whole thing nobody seems to check on. There's a situation out in Vegas where a young girl, 16 years old, murdered her father. They murdered her father because apparently it was a long-standing custody case, and I don't know all the details, but he's 18, she's 16, parents tried to keep him apart, yada, yada. But, apparently a judge has expressed some information about the fact that this judge believed that the family was in real crisis and wanted them to have more counseling and this and that, very concerned about giving the child back to the father. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. Obviously, I'm not privy to all the information. I happen to know the girl's mother, but that's a separate issue. I don't know her well. But the point is, the judge did notice that this child was really suffering and having a lot of psychological problems. I don't think it was related to COVID, but a lot of people don't tend to care about the kids. You're like a couch. They put you in a new house and set you down, and they expect you to just adapt to a new husband, new wife, new school, new friends, all this stuff. I've been that kid. I know what it's like, and it's not easy. But a lot of times people don't say, are you okay, to ask the kid. They don't ask the kids. You're just supposed to adapt to the situation. And then when terrible things happen, everybody wonders, how did it happen? Well, I don't know. Gee, let's go back and see all the awful things that happened. And so during COVID, it's the same thing. There are kids who didn't go to school pretty much all last year, right? I mean, this could be potentially another year of either wearing masks or not going to school, hanging out with their friends. I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like. As an adult, you may like working from home, but as a kid, to not be able to see your friends. And here's another crazy thing. I don't know if you've seen this, Ryan. There are a lot of parents who, even if their kids are home, don't want their kids playing with other kids because they might die.
Early on, I did see quite a bit of that. I don't know if it's still a thing. It might be. I just haven't seen it as much lately.
Yeah, but it's a big concern, obviously, for people to have to worry about. And, for little kids to not be able to play with their friends, I mean, that is such an important part of development, and people don't really ask, how are the kids doing? The teachers' unions don't care. They've proven they don't care about the kids, because if they cared about the kids, they'd be getting them back in the classrooms. They understand what's psychologically beneficial. They don't care.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think I was talking about statistics the other day of the emotional health of kids that has just been completely overlooked. This was a study out of the UK, so not US, but I would have to think it's pretty similar, that you were 5 to 10 times more likely as a kid under the age of 21, I think, or 18, to die from suicide in 2020 than you were to die from COVID. So, right. And those numbers were dramatically up from 2019, which means that there was an impact from all of this shutdowns, lockdowns, and emotional stress. But I think you'll also agree, though, that while we don't talk about the emotional health of kids enough, especially in the last 18 months or so, that also the best thing for the emotional health of a kid is to have emotionally stable two-parent homes.
Right.
So
nobody wants to talk about that. Whatever constitutes a family is good for them. They don't care about that. There's not a lot of emphasis put on that. And that obviously is the ideal situation, to have the two people who conceived you raise you. What a concept.
Yeah. And we don't talk about that. We've been talking about that more, I feel like, in the last couple months. I think, I don't know. I've heard Brian Kilmeade talking about it a lot, and I was really glad to hear him talking about fatherhood. And I thought, well, maybe it's just leading into Father's Day. You know, that's topical stuff, but right. No, I've been really hearing people focus on that more, and I'm glad, because like you said, you know, the father in the home is such a predictor of the success of the kids, both emotionally and just financially and every other metric.
Absolutely. Both parents are so important, and it's just one of those things that you see less and less of. And, you know, another thing that's added to the suicide rate, even before COVID and certainly as a result of COVID, you know, there's so much, it's a different world. You know, you got social media. You know, when I was a kid and it was a Friday night and you didn't get invited anywhere or your friends didn't call you or whatever it was, you know, you would watch, you know, TV or something, just kind of be bummed that you weren't out with anybody. But you didn't get to get on social media and see how much fun they were having without you, right?
That's true.
Now, you can get on social media and you can go, oh, well, why wasn't I invited to that event? And if you're a child and you don't understand the reality of it, sometimes you're not going to get invited to places, or, you know, your social life is a huge factor in your life as a teenager. And I can tell you, as a child of divorce, and I had good parents, okay, both of them loved us, they were good people. As a child of divorce, your social life takes on a far bigger place in your life than if your parents are still married, or that boyfriend or girlfriend takes on a far bigger role, as in the case I was mentioning in Las Vegas of that murder of that 16-year-old girl who she and her boyfriend plotted and schemed to murder her father. When you're a child of divorce, that romantic relationship takes on huge proportions in your life, much bigger than if your parents are in the same house. And people don't talk about that either, and they should.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Annie Fry. Coming up, we're going to talk about gas stations. Should they be liable for selling fuel to drunk drivers? Huh. One state says yes. We'll talk about it coming up next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Heidi Harris in for Annie Fry. Got Ryan here. Got Jake here. Got Ryan at Radio Wiggins. Jake, I don't know your Twitter handle, buddy.
At Jake V Radio.
Jake V Radio. I like that. That's simple to know. And Ryan is at Ryan at Radio Wiggins. I'm at Heidi Harris Show on Twitter. Glad to have you guys here. Mike Elam's going to be filling in for Mark Reardon today, right after our show. Is he going to jump on with us, or we don't
say
know?
Hello to the folks, Mike.
Hey, what's
come
up,
on,
Heidi?
Mike?
Heidi,
how
I love
you,
your
buddy?
Sign. That is awesome. I want a sign. I want a big neon sign. So
just for
I
when
can
you
be
fill
a,
in.
Yeah, I can be a fancy Vegas person, too.
Well, you know what? Yeah, everybody in Vegas has their own neon sign. It just kind of, those are the rules. You get it with your birth certificate.
Well, that makes perfect sense. I mean, you have to have a neon sign when you're in Vegas. It is the neon place, right?
Absolutely. So what are you going to talk about today on the Mark Reardon Show?
Oh, my gosh. We have got so much going on today. I got Tim Lomar, who's the prosecuting attorney from St. Charles County. He's going to catch us up on the Pam Hupp saga. Did you ever see this? Did you see the Pam Hupp stuff? It made national news. It's a whole Dateline 2020 investigation discovery. So she killed.
How old is it? Is it a new story?
So Lincoln County is now coming out, and they're going to charge her with a murder that happened long before the murder that she got convicted of. So
There's two murders.
Actually, with Pam Hupp, there may actually be like four. But right now, she's got life in prison, but I don't know about the whole possibility of parole. She may actually be able to get parole, but Lincoln County's going for the death penalty. Dun, dun, dun. We'll see what happens with that. Scott Drochnick from... he is the CEO of the St. Charles County Economic Development Center. He's going to be on to talk a little bit about what's going on in the region. I don't know how things are in Vegas, but around here, as the city of St. Louis is going to go, is how our region's going to go. So just want to talk about what are some of the ideas to kind of pull St. Louis out of the we're drowning to our deaths and we're going to swim out of this and actually live, you know? So we'll see what's going on there. Steve Ellman, who's the St. Charles County Executive, is going to be on with us. Missouri State Representative Adam Schwadron is going to come on. Governor Parson is getting ready to announce at 3 o'clock today what are some of the incentives that Missouri is going to do to encourage you to get a vaccine. I'm guessing it's not you could win $1 million. Was that Michigan that did that?
Ohio.
Ohio did that. Everybody's got a flipping this or flipping that kind of thing that
crazy.
Is going on.
Isn't it crazy? The whole thing is just, I'm concerned we're all going to go back into some kind of lockdown, although I don't think the people are going to have it this time. I think we all tried to do our best the last time, you know, take one for the team for a short period of time, and then it dragged out and dragged out and dragged out, and the goalposts kept moving. I don't think we're just going to do it now. I don't think we're going to mask up.
Oh, I think you're completely right. I was just at a Greater St. Charles County Chamber of Commerce luncheon today, and the sponsor of that was the Fort Zumwalt School District. They're a large school district here in the St. Louis metropolitan area. They've got close to 20,000 students in their school district, and the superintendent was talking about they are going to go back to school next month as a mask-optional school district.
Oh, that's good.
So we're going to try and play that out. Now, they were a school district that they were in person all year long. They did not do hybrid, they did not do virtual. You could either be in person or you could be virtual. They didn't even have a hybrid option, I don't believe. Some of the school districts did, but Zumwalt did not. So he said, we're going to try and do this whole thing, and we're going to try and do it in person. We'll see how that works out. But
God
I'm with you.
Them.
If they say stick a mask on again, you may have pitchforks and, you know, people are going to riot like it's Cuba.
I am not putting a mask on again. I'm done with you.
That really wasn't a Cuban accent, was it?
We don't need those thinking badges. We're speaking with Mike Elam, who's filling in for Mark Reardon today. You have the greatest radio voice I've ever heard.
See, you were so nice. You can stay, Heidi. I like you.
No, but it's. I'm not lying. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. I mean, you've never done voice work or anything like that?
Never.
Not true. Last time he filled in for Annie, we had him do, like, movie taglines.
Oh, yeah, so I was doing my best Don LaFontaine type thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, remember him? And he would... Remember this guy? Do you remember the story with Don LaFontaine who would do a quick voice for me, Mike, and I'll tell you the story. You probably know it.
In a world where Heidi fills in for Annie.
See what I'm talking about, man?
That's really good.
That's so good.
No, so this guy, who was famous for this kind of stuff. And I'm sure you've heard the story. He would rent ambulances in New York City to take him from place to place so he could do all these voiceovers. I'm not kidding, and not get stuck in traffic. That's a true story.
I did not know that story. I knew that he had, like, limos at one point who took him from place to place.
Too slow.
Wait, he was in that high a demand that he had
absolutely.
To get
he was
from
the guy
studio
forever.
To studio that fast in a given day?
Absolutely. That's how busy he was at the time doing that stuff.
He was the movie trailer guy for everyone.
Oh, I know that.
Right.
But how many movies are made in a year that you have to go in one day to three different studios to do all their voice work?
You know, when studios are booked and you got to be there. And that's kind of how this thing, you know, I guess that was he did that as opposed to doing ISDN lines or something that they had.
But see, that nowadays, a lot of people do the voice work from their houses.
Sure.
Back then, they did not. I have a friend who used to sing jingles. I have a friend who sang, she was the voice of Meow Mix, you know, meow, 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 for 17 years. She did tens of thousands of jingles for commercials, you know, have a Coke and a smile. That's her records. All kinds of stuff for years and years and years. And she would literally race back and forth to different studios because you had to. They were all doing it in different places.
See, I always wanted to be Tom Baudet. All I need, one client, Tom Baudet, Motel 6.
We'll leave a light on for you,
right?
Yes.
So I was at this voiceover conference out in Los Angeles years ago.
I knew it.
So I was a radio station production guy for 10 years and a DJ for 10 years.
So
I used to work for this company. Years ago as well in a different life. But Tom Baudet was there, and he was talking about the fact of he brought a copy of his contract, and it's like a New York City phone book. And it has all the stuff in it that he cannot do. This is what you can do. He lived in Alaska. He still does, as far as I know.
Wait a minute.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did Tom Baudette isn't affiliate? I mean, is he like a CEO of?
Oh God, no.
Red
He's
Roof,
a voiceover guy.
Or not? It's Motel Six. Bad branding.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm Tom Baudette.
I just thought he was the owner of Motel Six or something.
Well, I mean, he's kind of like the whole Papa John's guy, right? So.
Hopefully not exactly like him.
Exactly. He's got a different contract, so it works a little differently. But
that's
funny. He was at this thing, and he had this big thing, and they talked about, you know, Don LaFontaine's doing all these different gigs, and your friend's doing all these jingle gigs. He's like, yeah, I would love to work more. People tell me I have a great voice and I should be on radio, but I can't. Because here's what my contract looks like. And he holds that thing up.
Oh,
and it was like, wow. So that would have been...
You want exclusivity, you're going to pay for it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that was 1995 I was out there. Because Dan O'Day and Dick Orkin, who owned the Radio Ranch, did this voiceover conference. And I went out... These guys will appreciate this. I went out with Craig Cornett. So Craig Cornett, who used to be a big guy here in St. Louis radio... He did mornings. He was at Y98 for a long time doing production and doing a lot of dance stuff. He did mornings on the Bull for a long time when that was a thing. So Craig and I went out there to do this production thing. So you got two guys who grew up together in Northwest Arkansas who end up in St. Louis radio together, who were driving around in a rented convertible in Southern California acting like we owned the place, which we completely didn't, trying not to get shot in Compton because we wanted to see it. And we were both into NWA and stuff like that at the time, right?
So you took a convertible to Compton. That was smart.
We did. So, I mean, there's so many bad decisions that were wrapped up in that trip. I'm so lucky I'm alive. But, hey,
yes,
it has been so nice to meet you virtually on the radio.
Thank you, Mike. It's
like it's magic. So, Heidi, it's been a pleasure, and I've enjoyed listening to you.
All right, go prep. Go prep for Mark Reardon's show. Come on.
Yeah, get out of here for 1 minute, and then come right back in.
Wait, we're supposed to prep?
Get out of here for 1 minute, and then and come right
you
back.
You don't say that, Mike. If you don't prep, you don't mention it.
I have all of this. How am I going to get through
I know. My trash can is full after I'm done with every show. I'm a paper person, too. I don't like it on the computer.
Just a bunch of drawings of houses.
You know what?
They're not even that good.
I'm tactile, too. Some people, you know, some radio hosts don't like to print things. They like everything on their computer. I like to touch it, move it around, go, I don't want to do this now, or whatever. That's how I do it.
Hey, I know Fred Bottomer, so I have a ton of paper in front of me, and I got Fred and Dave with me this afternoon, so life is going to be great. Sue is here doing traffic. I cannot fall on my face at all because I have a wonderful support system, and God knows I need one.
All right, Mike, great talking to you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
That's funny. All right, tomorrow, we're going to get to the story tomorrow about the gas stations liable for selling fuel to drunk drivers, because I do want to talk about this. That'll be one of the things we cover tomorrow. There's always something going on. And the masks, we're worried about that in St. Louis County now, that people are discussing it again. Oh, my gosh. How many other states are going to roll over and just play dead with this thing? We don't know. We'll be keeping you updated. I'll be here the rest of the week. I'm Heidi Harris in for Annie Fry. The podcast will be up. It's probably up already, right?
We got hour one and two up right now. Three will be up in about 10 minutes.
Woohoo! So check out the podcast if you missed any of the show. You can follow me at Heidi Harris Show on Twitter, HeidiHarris.com. Have a great day. See you then.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.